Welcome to Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Podcasts to help you gain and retain good positive mental health.
Hello, it's Dr. Jane here with another 10-Minute Positive Mental Health Podcast. Today, I wanted to talk about toxic friends. It's a really emotive term, isn't it? Toxic friends. It can mean so many things to so many people, but to be perfectly honest, it's really good shorthand. For those people that you have in your life, for reasons that we will come on to, who don't suit you, to put it a nice way, that use you, that will they just don't do you any good. Now, I'm going to illustrate toxic friends with a lady I worked with quite some time ago, whose name was Joanna. Now, really lovely lady, and she wasn't the most confident of things, and that's one of the things that toxic friends grab a hold of. They love that unconfidence, that vulnerability that some people have, because they've got issues going on for themselves, but if they can kind of pair themselves with somebody that they feel has got even more issues than them, then instantly they're feeling better about themselves. So, Joanna, she she had a couple of kids, husband, and you know, a couple of young kids, and this toxic friend would kind of, you know, they'd known each other since childhood, and she could never kind of shake her off, even though she felt that she always wanted to. And of course, you know, to all their friends and relatives and family members, you know, she was perfect, she was lovely. But poor old Joanna kind of got the, you know, the sticky end of the stick with her. She used to have to look after her children all the time. Oh, you know, at the very last minute, she'd get calls saying, oh, can you pick them up? And, you know, would you mind giving them, feeding them, and I'll come around and collect them? Because not that she was working or had anything else to do, but I don't know, she was in the hairdresser, she was in the tanning salon or something. But her needs to her, this is the toxic friend, were far more important. And because she had good old Joanna always there, always willing to help. In fact, I think she used to think, this is often what happens with toxic friends, they think they're doing you a favour by getting you to help them. So yes, so she was always having to look after her friend's children. When they would go out, which this friend always wanted to all the time, they had a small circle of friends, but this particular friend always wanted to be going out, and of course didn't always want to go out on her own or with people that perhaps were not so tolerant of her toxicity, if you like. So poor old Joanna used to get dragged out all the time. And one of the things that she said she used to really absolutely infuriate her was that she would go around to her friend's house, and instantly the friend would go, oh, right, you've got your handbag, right, here you are, you take my phone, you take my purse, you take my, you know, lipstick, whatever it was. And poor old Joanna used to have to carry around and be responsible for all of her friend's stuff, but also at the end, during and at the end of going out, she used to have to be kind of responsible for her, because her friend would would quite often go out, get drunk, and be a bit all over the place, safe in the knowledge that good old stable Joanna would make sure that she got home. And and she said the amount of times that she used to have to kind of get her out of the taxi and take her upstairs and, you know, take her shoes off and stuff. I can't remember what was happening particularly with the toxic friend's children, but they were being looked after. But yeah, that constant expectation, and that's one of the things that toxic friends thrive on, the expectations that you will do whatever it is you need, they need you to do for them. As I say, in this situation, there weren't a huge amount of, you know, pool of friends. But what can happen within a circle of friends is the toxic one will be getting you to compete. You know, it's almost like playground stuff here. You know, am I going to have you as my best friend, or am I going to have, so-and-so as my best friend, and I'm going to watch you compete or feel that I'm watching you compete because, hey, I'm so important. You guys are going to be, not exactly fighting over me, but you'll be wanting to do the best for me, such as looking after my children, lending me money, allowing me to flirt with your family, you know, your husbands, you know, whatever. That was another thing that Joanna used to have to put up with. And, you know, as much as her husband used to find it a little bit uncomfortable, he was a nice guy as well, so he would never kind of call her out on it or anything. So used to cause arguments, of course, between them. And what do they end up doing? They end up talking about the toxic friend, which is exactly what the toxic friend wants, even though she's not there. So, yeah, competition. That's another kind of, thing that you will find with toxic friends. They will talk about themselves all the time and their problems and then dump everything on you and feel brilliant for having done it. You've turned into their mini therapist. And often at the end of these kind of quite lengthy and protracted conversations, they will remember, because they need you in their lives, they will remember to do that. Oh, and how are you? They're not interested in you. They're only interested in you for what you can do for them. So, and they can be very negative. And they want you to boost them and kind of make them feel better about themselves and their situation. And if they feel that you are doing something that might take you away from them, that might make you, in inverted commas, because you're not doing it for this reason, but they feel that you are better than them, they will do absolutely everything they possibly can to belittle you, to pull you down, to undermine you, to keep you in your place, which is to be their person that they can use and have been using. Often you find with people like this, characters like this, they go through people. It was Joanna's turn this time, and it had been for some time, because as I said, they'd been to school together. But eventually you tire of them, and I'm going to come on to what happened with Joanna in a little while, and they'll just move on to somebody else. They are permanent kind of users. This is just the characters they are. So don't accept or normalize the behavior of a toxic friend. There are some times where people have sat down because they don't want to lose the friendship, and they've really, in a nice way, but they've really hammered home the point about what is going on for them. And then the toxic friend has gone on and actually done some work about themselves. They've thought about it, they sought help, or whatever it is they've needed to do. This is sadly pretty rare, it has to be said. People tend to be their characters, and they don't actually feel that what they do, there is anything wrong with them. But you don't accept or you don't normalise their behaviour, even though it's been going on for years, because it's ruining your life. The key phrase I always say to people in these situations, when you're being asked to do something, whether it's going out, whether it's looking after children, whether it's, being there, the one that stands there where they go off and, I'm thinking about Joanna when she said once, this friend would like to go out shopping, and she would kind of come out with all her outfits going, how gorgeous do I look and everything. And Joanna just used to kind of pull her apart inside, because one, she couldn't afford it, and two, she wasn't the same shape as her friend. But she was there just to boost her friend. So you ask yourself, and I'm using that as an example, but in any of those situations, your first and best question to yourself is this good for me? She's asked me to go shopping with her. Is this good for me? Well, let's have a think about it. Maybe it is okay. It's only a shopping trip. But hey, the last three times we've done that, I've come back and I feel drained and I can't do anything for the next 3 hours because I just she sucked the life out of me. So even if it's something minimal like a shopping trip, is this good for me? And you don't have to explain. When you say no to somebody, you say no to them. You don't have to explain. You don't have to give your reasons. Sometimes you might need to come up with reasons, because it's just they'll accept it quicker to begin with. They'll soon get used to you saying no. And this is the point that they usually move on to somebody else. But you don't actually have to explain to people why you don't want to do something for them. That's not the deal. But you're probably a very nice person, so come up with a few kind of stoic reasons why, no, I'm not able to do that. Or if you feel like that rabbit in the headlights, which is often the way, you say, let me think about it. I will come back to you on that. And because they are so used to you, reluctantly inside saying yes to whatever it is that you don't want to do, that will come as a surprise to them. And they will often say, well, hang on a minute, what is there to think about? Or that doesn't suit me. And hey, if it doesn't suit them, then the answer is there and then a no. So yeah, is this good for me? Your first question to yourself, is this good for me? Is this okay for me? And if you really can't quite kind of get yourself to say that, you come back to them and you say, I will let you know, I will come back to you on that one. And if it's no good to them, then hey, they get to move on. You set your own boundaries with your friends, with your toxic friends. You set your boundaries and you have your line in the sand and you don't cross it, because actually that's your containment. Your line is your containment, and you don't want to be permanently being dragged over it by them, because, hey, they don't know you put a line in the sand, and that, but they want you to do something because they have an agenda, they have a need that needs to be met, and you're the one that helps them, that, them do it. So remember that. Remember the key phrases that you have to do. The reason, now this is what I wanted you to think about a little bit as well, is just thinking about what it is about you that you probably think, oh God, this is the only type of person that I seem to attract as a friendship, or this might be about, you know, even about a romantic partner or a co-worker or whatever. Why do I seem to attract these people that just ring me out, use me, and then go on to somebody else? It's useful to just think about, you know, you're, I don't want to say vulnerabilities, because, you know, you're pretty normal, you're pretty straightforward, but there is something that they have been able to just kind of hold on to and develop for their own uses. So I want you to just think about it. Is there something there? Is there that I must always be a nice person, I must always be a pleaser, I must never offend people, because, oh, you know, if I was to see somebody and, you know, they were kind of sharp, I'd find that devastating, so therefore I don't do that to other people. And that, although, you know, it's a lovely character trait to be a nice and thoughtful person, there are people in this world, quite a lot of people in this world, who will take advantage of that. So I just want you to just think about yourselves a little bit. Not to be harsh, not to be brittle, not to be always saying no to people, but just have a think about it, because you don't want to get in a situation where you are just managing to kind of loosen the grip of one toxic friend when, hey, somebody else comes along. And often these things, not always, but often these things can be stuff that's laid down in kind of childhood. You know, as I said, Joanna, she went to school with this toxic friend. So this was stuff that was kind of set in motion a long time ago, and it kind of got, you know, very established quite quickly. But it never, ever did poor old Joanna any good whatsoever. So I just, you know, to back to just thinking about yourself and your vulnerabilities and where this can come from. And it can come from childhood. It can often come from kind of sibling-y type relationships that you may have had, somebody that kind of took a lot of attention and was a bit needy. And it's about that, you know, toxic friends are about getting your needs met. And if you're a person that is kind of trained, in inverted commas, to meet the needs of others because of what has gone on for you in your family dynamic in the past or your relationship dynamics in the past, then you're an easy person to have as the foil to the toxic friend. So this is really important. Think about what you need to do to manage these friendships. And it might be that you ultimately have to lose the friendships. And that's, it's a bit of a hard one, but that's probably the best one, because, hey, do you want to be doing this in 5 years' time? Do you still want to be at somebody's beck and call in 5 years' time? Do not let their insecurities become your insecurities, because that's basically what a toxic friend does to you. So just briefly, what happened with Joanna? She did two things. She lost two things. She lost weight, which the toxic friend did not like, because that actually made her as slim as her. And she lost the friendship eventually. And she got a job. That was the other thing. She got a job in her local Marks and Spencers, which she enjoyed. It was the first job she'd had for absolutely ages. And eventually, the friend could not handle Joanna having a life, having success, having a good partnership, etc., etc. And she moved on to something else. And Joanna then, at, you know, her new place of work, she made much nicer friends, people like her. So it really, you know, having to think about it, it was a bit of a hard call for her, and she didn't want to do it, but she did. And she is a much mentally healthier person for it. I have been Dr. Jane. Thank you for listening. And please subscribe to hear my next Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Positive Mental Health podcast. And I will speak to you again next time.